Good morning, everyone. It's God's grace that we can worship together this morning, especially around Christmas time. It is a good time for us to contemplate and be reminded about the significance and what a great news it is that a Savior was born to us. And what a joy to see this book here. I didn't expect that. It's great. In a certain year, around August 3rd, my wife was having a very severe stomach ache. And so we went to the hospital, and the doctor, after some tests, came back with mixed expressions on his face. And then he finally told us, I'm not sure whether this is good news for you, but your wife is pregnant. And so we are living in that was about 20-some years ago, almost 20 years ago. That was the birth of my first daughter. And so in this day and age, having a baby, having a new baby in a family may not be conceived or be perceived as a good news. And in the first century, certainly the birth of Jesus Christ was not considered a good news by everyone. To King Herod, definitely it was not a good news. He felt threatened by this birth of Jesus Christ. However, the message of the angel to the shepherd is, today I bring you great news, a news of great joy. And so this is not only a news of joy, but a news of great joy, mega joy. And so let us learn from this passage why this is a great news, a good news of great joy. All right, so we have read this passage, and so the question we need to ask ourselves is, do we have joy this morning? And if not, why not? Where does our joy come from? And then why does the angel say, I bring you good news of great joy? So in this first passage, verses 1 to 8, we can see a glimmer of hope in darkness. And so Luke here emphasizes that the decree of Caesar Augustus, which is about doing a census related to military and taxation. And this becomes the very means by which Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And this fulfilled the prophecy in Micah 5:2. And what appeared to be a bureaucratic action from the imperial palace became part of God's plan of redemption. And so let's consider what kind of world that Jesus was born into. Well, first, it was a world of taxation. Benjamin Franklin famously said, in this world, nothing can be certain except death and taxes. And indeed, during Roman times, every 14 years, there will be a military and taxation purposes. There will be a censor for that purpose. And every Jewish male would go to his hometown to register, his age, occupation, and property, and family members. Now, Joseph and Mary, they were both from the lines of David, and David was born in Bethlehem too, and so they went back to Bethlehem. Even though they are poor people and they can contribute little to taxes, but they are faithful people. They don't evade taxes, and so they went to Bethlehem. And in the Gospels, we saw two instances where Jesus was encountered with the same issue, one related to poll tax and another related to temple tax. And in both these instances, Jesus did not evade tax. He instructed his disciples to pay the tax. And so here we see the foster father of Jesus, Joseph, also being very faithful not to avoid tax. And this shows that he was a righteous person. And so Jesus was born into a world of taxation. And secondly, it is an unjust world. We can say that the world is not fair. From this passage, we can see there are two groups of people in this world. There are the rich and powerful. We see Caesar Augustus. We see Quirinius, governor of Syria. And so they were powerful people. But there are also the second group, Joseph, Mary, and the shepherds. And Bethlehem itself was a poor city. If we were to choose a school district, parents may not choose this district. They may choose Jerusalem, which has the Ivy Leagues at that time. But God's ways are not our ways. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Jesus was not born in Jerusalem, even though he died there and was raised there. And Bethlehem, the name itself means the house of bread. And Jesus, he said, he is the bread of life who come down from heaven and to give himself as a life offering to all those who believe in him. And indeed, this world is not even. In the United States, for example, the top 1% earners of the population, their total income comprises 20 to 25% of all the income of the United States. And Jesus was born into this world, which is not just, not even. And thirdly, Jesus was born into a cold and harsh world. Why was Jesus being put into a manger? Because there was no room in the inn. And we can think about that. When people saw Mary being pregnant, about to deliver a baby, and so the belly must be very significant. But still, there was no room in the inn. And inn does not correspond to hotel or motel in our days, but inn probably means just a room. So there was not even a room that people would be willing to share with a pregnant woman. And Joseph and Mary, they are already Jews. And so if they were Samaritans, you know, there would be even less chance for them to have a room. But even for Jews, they don't have a room for them. And so this causes us to think about who are our neighbors. And in Luke 10, Luke himself gave us this parable of the Good Samaritan. Who are our neighbors? If we see a pregnant woman needing help, would that be our neighbor? Is Mary or Joseph our neighbor? So our failure to love our neighbor as ourselves, let alone loving God with all our hearts, highlights our needs of a savior, as loving God and loving our neighbors are the sum of the law. And number four, Jesus was born into a toilsome world. After Adam's fall, human beings must work hard in order to just put food on the table. They have to, by the sweat of their brow, they have to work. So nighttime is meant for sleeping. But the shepherds, they still had to work because they need food. They need to get paid for the jobs that they were doing. So work is no longer the enjoyable and wholesome activity before the fall. But after the fall, people have to work hard because they live in a toilsome world. And Jesus was born into such a world. And finally, Jesus was born into a sinful world. Why do the shepherds have to take turns keep watching the sheep by night? Because there were thieves who would steal the sheep. And in ancient times, sheep stealing was not uncommon. Nighttime watch is very usual for the shepherds, because otherwise the thief could slip in and just steal the flock. And in John 10, Jesus himself mentioned something similar. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So yet the Son of God was born into such a world. He was born into a world of taxation, injustice, coldness, toil, and sin. And Jesus' birth brings joy to such a world. And so how does God bring joy to us? It is in places where humans see the least possibility. God brings forth the greatest joy through the birth of his eternal Son, Jesus Christ. And in 2:6, we read, Mary's time came for her to give birth, and then she gave birth to her firstborn son. And by calling Jesus the firstborn son, it implies that there were subsequent births. So Jesus has little brothers and sisters after him. And in fact, in the New Testament, the book of James and the book of Jude are commonly believed to have been written by Jesus' brother, James and Jude. And in this second passage, verses 8 to 14, we see this angel of the Lord. He bring a good news of great joy. At that time, shepherding in the first century, shepherding was not a job that is highly considered. That job does not require a lot of skills. And even nowadays, we see that shepherding can be done by dogs. And also, in the first century, shepherds do not have good reputation. And so their testimony were not even omitted in the court because they were known for their untrustworthiness. However, the angel, God sent the angel to these shepherds. And shepherding actually is the oldest profession of humanity. Abel, the son of Adam, Abel was a shepherd, and he raised sheep for worship and sacrifice. Moses was a shepherd, and David, before he became king, he was a shepherd. And Jesus himself is a shepherd. He says he is the good shepherd. And the shepherds, they usually could not fully keep the Sabbath. And so they were considered unclean by the Jews. And however, in the book of Luke, the book of Luke presents Jesus as the Savior to the world. There are many marginalized figures in the book of Luke, and shepherds were one of those. We also see there were old people, there were women, and there were tax collectors. So all these are marginalized people in first century society. But Luke presents Jesus as the Savior for the world, and especially for the marginalized, for the poor, for the underprivileged. And so although the shepherds were lowly, unnamed, and even disqualified from giving testimony in court, God chose them to be the first to hear the good news of great joy. And even though in the society we have these different occupations and we label people differently, some with higher ranks and some with lower, but in Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. And we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. And this is one of the things God sent Jesus into the world to accomplish. And through his redemption, and we have equal access to God, and we are equal before God as God's children, and we ourselves as brothers and sisters. And so God is telling us that true joy is not reserved for the exclusive right of the rich and the powerful, but true joy comes to those who are humble and even overlooked by the society. And on the other hand, you can be rich and powerful. However, if you never know Jesus, you will not have true joy. You may have happiness, but you will not have true joy and true peace from God. So Bethlehem is only 8 kilometers from Jerusalem. So these shepherds probably were tending the very sheep used for temple sacrifice. So the temple is in Jerusalem, and people need to bring sheep to the temple to sacrifice. But now the true Lamb of God has come, and this Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, will bring an end to all sacrifices and because he would take away the sins of the world and bring people into eternal joy. And so there can be no true joy without the forgiveness of sin. And so if you think you have true joy, but you are not sure whether you are at the right relationship with God, that joy is really not real. So in verses 9 to 12, we see this, the news of great joy. So the angels appeared. God has not forgotten the world. He sent the angels. And then we see this glory shone on the shepherds. And so there was this bright light in this dark night. And so this bright light comes purely from God's glory, and this glory just light up the whole night, like a day. And in verse 10, we see the angel's message, fear not. So fear and joy cannot coexist. And so this morning, we can ask ourselves, do we have any fear or do we have any worry? So worry and fear are also related because we fear our worry would come true, right? And fear and worry, they could not coexist with joy. However, when we are Christians, it doesn't mean that we do not have troubles. However, those troubles should not rob us of our joy, because our joy does not depend on circumstances. Our joy depends on our relationship with God. And this relationship cannot be taken away by the world. Even when we lost our job, we don't lost our relationship with God. Even when we lost our health or lost our money or purse, we don't lost our relationship with God. God's love in us is secure, and that is the foundation of our joy. And so we can only have true joy if we have assurance of salvation, and we have assurance that death is not the final answer. Ultimately, fear comes from the fear of death, and that is the greatest fear of men. However, as Christians, we have overcome death because we know that death is not the final answer. And death to Christians is not the wages of sin. Death to Christians is just a door, an entry point for us to go into the eternal presence with God. And so we have the assurance of salvation, and we have the assurance that death is not the final answer. And we just prayed for the victims of the fire in Hong Kong. And so in the past 4 or 5 months, I actually was in Hong Kong. And 4 days after the fire, I visited the site. There was still this smell of burning, even after 4 days. And there were people lining up, standing before the buildings to contemplate, to cry, to think, and to meditate. And in this small garden next to the buildings, there were people giving out some notes, sticky notes where you can write your thoughts and then put that on a tree. And there are different poles, and on those poles we see missing cats and missing dogs, so their owners try to find their pets. And so it is a tragedy. And to those who have lost their loved ones, their only hope, their only comfort, if they knew Christ, and if their loved ones who died also knew Christ, that would be their only hope, because for them, they know that death is not the final answer. There is resurrection after death, and one day they will see their lost loved ones again in heaven. However, for those who do not know God, death is the greatest fear, and death is indeed the greatest enemy. The Bible says that this is our last enemy. However, the angel said this is a great news of great joy. This great joy literally is mega joy. It is super, super joy. Because today in the city of David, a Savior was born to you. A Savior was born to you. Usually a Savior was just born to, well, usually a baby is just born to the parents. But this baby is born to everyone. This baby is born to you and for you. It concerns everyone. It concerns everyone. And it says today. Today is a significant term in the Gospel of Luke. This is his peculiar phrase. He said, "For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior." And in Luke 4:21, Jesus said to them, after reading the scripture from Isaiah, he said, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And in Luke 19, talking to Zacchaeus, he says, "Hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your home." And today salvation has come to this house because he is a son of Abraham. And Jesus famously told the thief next to him, he said, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." Today means today is the day of salvation. So there is an urgency to this good news. If there is anyone here this morning, you still have not committed your life to Jesus, do not wait for tomorrow. Do not wait for after you got married. Do not wait for after your children has become engaged. Okay. Do not wait after you got tired. Today is the day of salvation. And this is the message of the Gospel of Luke. Salvation is something, there is an urgency to it. And indeed, this great news has an urgency to it. After the shepherd has heard this great news, they went immediately to search for this baby. And it says today in the city of David, David was a king. David was a king. And even though he was born in Bethlehem, but he reigned in Jerusalem, and his kingdom is established actually through the ultimate king, which is Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ's kingdom is established through his death on the cross, and because by his death, he destroyed the one who holds the power of death. And this Savior Christ, the Lord, and Savior tells us that this baby is a human, because Savior is literally means Jesus. The name Jesus means Savior. And this name is the name that the angel gave to Joseph. "You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." So the name Jesus highlights the Savior's humanity. However, Christ highlights, the Lord highlights his divinity, because the Lord actually is Yahweh in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament it was translated as the Lord. And so the Lord highlights the divinity, and Christ highlights the office. Christ is the anointed one, and Christ has a threefold office. He is the prophet, he is the priest, and he is the king. He is the prophet because we are ignorant of truth. He is the priest because we cannot save ourselves. He has to sacrifice himself as the offering, as the perfect offering to present himself to God. And he is the life because we don't have spiritual life until we are being born again in Christ. We are dead in our sins. And so this threefold office points to Christ as the anointed one. And so Jesus Christ, the Lord, was born for you, for the shepherds, and also for each one of us. And the sign would be a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. The sign actually is really the second part of this phrase, because every baby would be being wrapped in cloths in those days, just like every baby would be in a diaper in our days. So there would be no baby without a diaper. And if you see a baby without a diaper, that would be a sign. But the actual sign is this baby lying in a manger. Yeah, now that is a sight to behold. Because even the poor people of the first century was not born, or was you know, when they were baby, they were not in a manger. A manger actually is the place where the horse would get their food. And so the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the eternal Son of God was born in such a lowly manner, even lower than the poor people in the first century. And that was the sign. In verses 13 to 14, there was joy in heaven and peace on earth. And the angel's message is, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. So peace is a gift from God. Peace is a gift from heaven. Jesus said, I give you peace. And this peace is not the peace that the world can give you. Peace can only come from heaven. Just like when Paul, the Apostle Paul, when he writes his letters, he always begins his letters with peace or grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ to come to you. And this peace will come to those with whom God is pleased. And God is pleased with whom? God is pleased with those who come to him in repentance and faith. And without repentance and faith, there is no peace. There is only false peace, false security. But true peace comes from repentance and faith. And when people come to God in repentance and faith, these people, God are pleased with them. And so this is the message of the angels. And lastly, the joyful response of the shepherds. And so they go immediately to search for this baby. And they found the baby indeed lying in the manger. Recall the days when we first become Christians. We probably are like these shepherds. We have this burst of joy in us. We cannot wait to tell this good news to other people. But now that we have believed for some time, for some it's 5 years, for some 10 years, for some more, do we still have this burst of joy, this burst of urgency, this passion within us that we want to share this good news with those who are friends with us, who are our families, who are even strangers? And I remember when I first became a believer, I literally told every professors that has ever taught me, and I told my classmates, and I even told strangers on the street that I have found Christ. And compared with those days, you know, I can see now I was less enthusiastic in this way about telling Jesus, and so I need to repent. Could it be that I have lost my first love? That's the warning in the Revelation, in the book of Revelation chapter 2 about the church in Ephesus. However, these shepherds, they remind us, this should be our natural response. Once we hear this good news, we share it. We share it with people and we go immediately to search for this baby. And so we see the shepherds were the first to proclaim the birth of Christ. And God does not necessarily use those who are most honored in society, but those who hunger for truth and humbly listened to his voice. So regardless of what professions we hold or whatever ability we have, God can use each one of us as his instrument, as his vessel, to bring this good news to people. And so, however, before people can hear the good news, they must hear the bad news. And the bad news is we cannot save ourselves. That is the bad news. And the good news is only Jesus save. Nowadays, in many gospel meetings, we tend to emphasize on God's love. We try to tell people to believe in Jesus, but we really do not tell them why you need to believe in Jesus. We don't believe in Jesus so that we want to have better marriage or better family, better children or better health or better finances. we believe in Jesus because he is our only Savior, and only he can deal with the problem of sin and death and our uncertainty, and we don't have true peace in us. Only Jesus can deal with our deepest issue, which is death and our sin problem. And so believing in Jesus is the remedy. That is the solution. It's like the doctor telling you to take a certain medicine. However, before the doctor tells you to take a medicine, the doctor has to tell you why you have to take this medicine. It's because you have an incurable disease. And this disease cannot be cured by any other means except by believing in Jesus Christ. And so before we tell people the good news, they do need to hear the bad news. And the bad news make the good news even better, because only Jesus Christ has this unique qualifications as the eternal Son of God, Son become man, fully God and fully man, so that he can fully represent us and fully capable of paying for the sins of the whole world before God and to appease God's wrath. And only he has this qualification, and he has done it. He was born not only to die, but live a sinless life so that his righteousness can become our righteousness when we put our faith in him. And then his death can become our death when we are united with him. And his resurrection can become our resurrection when we put our faith in him. And this is the good news of great joy. And in this Christmas season, we have the privilege of sharing this good news of great joy. So Christmas is not just about giving gifts, but mostly about Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you that the angels have brought this great news of great joy to the shepherds. And we need to learn from the shepherds. They have this outburst of urgency to search for this baby and to tell this news to those around them. May we be instruments and vessels of your evangelizing, of your good news. Let us be bearer of this good news, and let us tell the whole story that we need a Savior because of our sin. But this Savior come to deliver us from our sins so that we can have eternal joy and from God and peace with God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.